Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I wouldn't say it's a me thing. This is a team thing. And it's tough when Mike has to have sit-down conversations with guys, in starting roles and having to maneuver through that because of the person that he is. And then it's also, it does sort of take a toll sometimes on the team. But if you understand reasoning and you understand, sometimes that it could be for the betterment of the team or whatnot, those guys are the ones having those conversations. You're just there to support your teammate in the best way you can. I think you get a good, better big picture gauge of reasons as to why things like that have been happening or have happened.
That's Tua Tagovailoa. That's pretty interesting. I hadn't heard that, Woody, actually. And interesting talking about some of the things Mike has basically said. Hey, we've had to make it some changes. Players, playing time. One guy got released, a starting linebacker who graded out well a year ago, especially against the run, they let go. And we've had a couple of other guys on the offensive side of the ball lose some playing time. We've had a rookie free agent play ahead of a draft pick, a high draft pick. So, and by the way, the part that's hard, but we're all getting used to it in this business, the ones that follow this for a living, is – you hear the position coaches, and they make every guy sound like he's having the best year of his career, right? They're, we like a lot of things, because Mike refuses to let the coaches, or part of his culture is just not anything that happens is not going to be released to the media. And so, too, I thought Tua was really good on that whole thing. Like, it's not easy. I don't think Mike's really likes doing it, but listen, man, he's got to do what's best for the team. And so that's why you've got a couple of situations, and we'll see. And, Mike's pretty good about putting a positive spin about guys that aren't playing as much and how important they are. And he's still doing a nice job. And, he's great player to have on this team. So that's part of it. And the other part is while you're going through this and you get to 2-6, and we don't have a lot of noise, man. We don't have noise leaking out in social media. We just it's been, I got to give credit to leadership and the guys staying focused on winning games. And like, look it, we got to play the best guy, and we like you, and we want you to stay on the team. But Mike's got to make these decisions, and we got to win games. So there's no finger pointing or blaming anybody. He's kept it. He's got guys playing hard. So we'll see what happens, man. And by the way, this game, they're favored by 7.5 points. That's a big spread for an NFL game. And then we get into the truth. We get into the truth of this team. We will have had 5 games now. 2 that we lost against Arizona and Buffalo, and then potentially a 3-game winning streak if you win this game. And then we get to the truth on Thursday night. Whether you're at home eating turkey, throwing down beers, a couple of shots of tequila, wherever you might be, we're all going to find out. Nobody wants to hear any excuses. We want to just see what they look like as they're going to step up in competition against the Green Bay Packers. So, but you got to take care of this one first, man. Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself at Hard Rock Stadium. It's got a game on Saturday and a game on Sunday. And by the way, if we're really to break it down, that game for the Miami Hurricanes is big, big stuff. 12 o'clock start, Wake Forest, big favorite. I don't care about the favorite thing. I just want them to win. I want them to look really, really good and put together somewhat of a clean game and not find themselves down in the third quarter against this Wake Forest team. That's what I'd really like to see. They're 9-1. They got a chance to get to 10 wins, by winning this game, and then you know what's next. But you got to take care of this one first. And probably going to copy a lot of things Georgia Tech did and see if they can do some of them, if they have the same personnel. See what gets cleaned up defensively, and then this will be it. I just think we haven't had this happen. We're sitting here talking about it. I look up, and they've got Cam Ward. They're now starting all these mock drafts and where everybody's starting. And Cam Ward's one of the three or four guys they got up there at the top of the draft. It's kind of – and, again, it doesn't mean anything until the draft takes place, and there's a lot still – I think a lot of people want to see how Cam Ward plays in these games, right?
Absolutely. I was just going to tell you that. Yeah, I think these games are really big for him. I know he's probably out of the Heisman deal right now, at least for the time being. But, yeah, you're talking about draft stock. Yeah, he's got to play well in these games. You know, it's funny, we were talking about it last night, too. Like, the Canes have not played any teams that are, you know, world beaters, right?
No.
Like, I don't know who you think the best team they've played is. Is it... You know, maybe the Gators as far as talent, like.
Well, the Gators right now are playing a hell of a lot better than they did.
They are, but is that the best team Miami's played?
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a game right now, probably. Yes,
I mean, that's probably the best team they've played all season. So, like, it was just, you know, that conversation started because someone goes, "Oh, if they get to the playoffs, they play like Georgia or something like that." Yeah, Miami hasn't played a team like that, obviously.
Well, look, I hope we get there to find out.
That's true. Be nice.
I hope it happens and that the Canes get there, because I think it'd just be good for everything. And Morrow, of course, has another really good-looking recruiting class and probably going to get better. I expect he's going to get National Signing Day is actually next month.
Yeah.
The big one is this December one, the first one. And
someone should call FSU and let them know. I know they don't recruit very well over there.
I don't know. How'd you get Florida State?
I don't know.
You just beat up on a team that's just probably the most disappointing team in college football.
Oh, like they weren't kicking us while we were down. Come on now.
They went from – it's incredible. And obviously they missed on the quarterback. They missed on their transfer portal quarterback. But they went from undefeated in the regular season.
It's awesome.
To – Well, they got one win or two wins. Maybe they got two wins now.
I think they have one, don't they?
I don't know.
Who cares?
But I know one thing. Florida's really excited about getting ready to play them. Really, really excited. We've got a bunch of other things going on here, too, today. And I'd like to, if you're cool with this, I'd like to get the Dade County Athletic Director on tomorrow. What do you think we can do that? It's kind of.
Yeah, whatever you want, man.
And just,
it's your world. You whatever you want.
No, I just want to. I mean, but it's.
I appreciate you running it by me, though.
It's kind of self-serving.
Is it?
Well, because I like the high school stuff.
Yeah, I think I think it's an interesting story, obviously.
But
we'll have Blue on him, see what he has to say about it.
So Blue, you know, yeah, Blue's aware of all this stuff, and he finds out about this stuff. Anyway, we have all that. By the way, congratulations to Richmond Webb, semifinalists. For Hall of Fame class of 2025. So good for him. Still got a ways to go. It's still a big list. And but it sure be great. What a great human being. The big fella is just one good dude, and man, was he good. He just lined up at left tackle. Just felt like you never worried about left tackle for years and years and years with Richmond Webb there, man. He was just, and he played against Bruce Smith twice a year. What great matchups, because Bruce Smith's one of the great defensive ends of all time. Just incredible. Anyway, we got more stuff to get to.
Hey, before you do that, I know we got a bunch of guests coming up, and Bo is coming by. Why don't we give away these Heat tickets? You want to do that?
All right, go ahead. Do it.
All right, let's go caller number 7. I'm sticking with 7. 7C Joe and 7-0 Bo. Caller number 7, 305-567-0560. You're going to Heat and Raptors the day after Thanksgiving.
All right, that sounds
good.
Go
check out that statue out front. Take a picture with it. All new right. Scoreboard.
No, that was
it's all good.
No, but that was a shot. The
no,
first
it wasn't
one,
a shot.
Was
it a shot?
Once again, was one of your shots here.
People want to see that thing, you don't think?
I do, because everybody's talked about. Of course, you want to stop.
Yeah, you go
and
out
and
you give your opinion.
And then you give an opinion on it.
You should have
exactly.
A suggestion box right in the front of it.
Hey, yeah, I spent some time last night with Harvey and Gary. I just call them that. Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah. great. It was great having them out there, man. They're just regular guys that just happen to be really good at what they do. I'm talking about the partners, because the partners of Cohen and Judah, injury law firm, personal injury attorneys, Implantation. Yep, the same partners who handle your case from start to finish. There's no handoffs for a new attorney working for them. They don't do that. I don't know about others, though. Seems to be a lot of people doing a lot of talking, and, you know, that's great, we got you in here, but we've got our new attorney over here who's going to handle yours, and about 14 other people, too. Hey, they've got all this experience. They're big enough to go to trial. They get you multi-million-dollar results and small enough just to call you back. Talking about CohenandJudah.com, find out more. Find out what the reviews are saying about them. I'll tell you what, communication's important to them. You've got something that's happened to you. You've been injured. And you like to get updates. You like to know how your case is going. You want to know what they think is going to happen. You want their experience. You want their verbal skills to be able to get back to you. Well, that's what they're all about, and great results. And that's what they're going to do for you. Anything, injuries caused by negligence of others, go to CohenandJudah.com. Learn more about them. Go to 866-FAIR-FEE. That's 866-FAIR-FEE. And if you're someplace right now that you've been the last few months and you're not happy, feel like you're not important to that law firm, go to call Harvey and Gary. Seriously, call them, get an appointment, go over and meet with them. I think you're really going to like them. They might be perfect for you, that personalized touch. Go to CohenandJudah.com, 866-FAIR-FEE. And remember, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work you hire them to do.
I wouldn't say it's a me thing. This is a team thing, you know, and it's tough when Mike has to have sit down conversations with guys, you know, in starting roles and having to maneuver through that because of the person that he is. And then it's also it does sort of take a toll sometimes on the team. But, you know, if you understand reasoning and you understand, you know, sometimes that it could be for the betterment of the team or whatnot. You know, those guys are the ones having those conversations. You're just there to support your teammate in the best way you can. I think you get a good, better big picture gauge of reasons as to why things like that have been happening or have happened.
Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors. One of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. We got Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network speaking of Tua, talking about tough decisions when guys lose playing time, or in one case, a guy got released from the team, a starting middle linebacker. Kim Bocamper's with us, and we're joined right now by Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network. Beez, how you doing?
Oh, the Joe and Bo show.
We got the Joe and Bo. It's not just a podcast, brother.
It's a 2-for-1, Beez.
You get the complete shit show when you're here with us, okay?
Well, it's, you know, I'm you know, it's an honor to join you both. And hey, look, it's just good to be talking about wins, right? I mean, it was bleak. It was a bleak seven, eight weeks when they were going through that tailspin. So it's good to be talking about wins.
You know, Bo and I literally, as he just got here, and we're talking about the new offense because I don't know about you, and I'm guilty every week. And all right, Joe, what do we expect today? Well, today I think we get the ball to Waddle and Tyreek Hill down the field. It's going to look like last year and the year before. And then they've got this controlled short passing game that was almost perfect, actually, as good as I've ever seen last week. Third downs, guys are wide open. A lot of Jonnu Smith, it looks like he's becoming the second weapon on this team behind Achane. I don't know if you agree with that, but what's been your thoughts on the new offense and safeties you guys play back? Because you're going to enjoy it. You're going to have the best seats in the house to watch what we do underneath.
Yeah, no, you got to take your hat off to Mike McDaniel, because there are times I made this criticism and others have had that he seemed a bit stubborn, right? That he was sticking to what he thought would work as opposed to what has worked. And, you know, and I'm not going to say it cost them their season last year, but certainly the offense had big, big problems late in the year when they weren't able to make that adjustment. The teams were like, all right, you know what? You can have the, you know, short and the intermediate stuff, but there's no way you're beating us over the top. Granted, they didn't have Jonnu Smith then. Achane wasn't what he's become now. And so, I credit McDaniel for, A, seeing that they had some deficiencies big time in personnel and in scheme and addressing them. And it's been through the season, too. Like, beginning of the year, I don't think teams are playing drastically different coverage now than they were beginning of the season. They, the Dolphins adapted to it. They adjusted and they got better. And, you know, I don't think we can overstate how well Tua has played since he's come back from his injury. I mean, he is the best third down quarterback in the National Football League right now, and I don't think it's particularly close. What were they? I think they were 8-12 last week on third downs, 2-2 on fourth. His numbers on, you know, it's absolutely nuts. Since he's come back from IR, and I looked these stats up, he's completing 77.7% of his attempts, more than three-quarters of his attempts, averaging 7.4 yards per pass, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. Joe, on third down, 78% of his attempts, which is supposed to be harder to throw on third downs, right, because that's when teams know it's coming. 78% of his attempts have been completed, 8.5 yards per attempt, and here's what's wild. 45 dropbacks, he's converted 25 passing first downs in those 45. Those numbers are just astronomical, and I think it speaks to, yeah, ball control works, but it only works if you're able to pick up the third downs, and they have the quarterback to do it.
Well, Adam, one of the things you've seen is Tua coming out of the pocket and just making big plays off schedule, you know, having the wherewithal to look downfield. But getting back to Mike, you know, I think really from the time Tua got hurt until he got back, Mike has kind of created an offense that gives him the opportunity to react to what the defenses are giving him. In other words, okay, they're gonna take away our deep guys. Before Ingold got hurt, and maybe that's not the only reason. Maybe they deviated from it because it's scheme thing. We can run the football if you're gonna do that. And if you try to stop that, we've got a medium passing game that we can give you. So I think over the years, and certainly this year, I think he's been forced to kind of get an offense that has a balance to it, that in game you can change that offense in the way it looks, in the way it performs.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right, and I wrote this after the game, is that last year, you know, scoring 70 on Denver, leading the league in yards, all these things, that was a more fun offense. This is a more sustainable offense, because you can't count on Tyreek Goballs to get you 14 points a game. You just can't do that. And when the games counted the most against the best teams last year, that stuff went away. So you had to have a counterpunch, right? You had to have a second act, and I do think, because Tua is so good on third downs and he's so accurate, and yeah, he needs to be a little bit better with ball security, that the fumbles got to clean that up for sure, but he's not throwing the egregious picks, and they're talking about this, he's not forcing the ball in a way that maybe he even did earlier in the season. They've got a big mountain to climb to get to the playoffs. I mean, I think our metrics at PFN have him at 24%, something like that, and if they do, it's going to be as the 7 seed, so you're going to have to go to a place like Buffalo, like Kansas City, like Pittsburgh in the first round of the playoffs. That's fine, and I'll ask you guys if you think differently, but at this point, getting to 10-7, going on the road in the playoffs, being competitive, maybe stealing a win, to me, that's a success considering what they went through.
Yep, and that probably keeps their job, I'm going to tell you that, because that topic has popped up a lot. I know you're getting a lot, and we have a ton of things to talk about, but the whole Chris Greer thing, we were at a function again last night, and Chris Greer is like topic number one. I think everybody sold that the coach is good to go and going to be here. These guys are playing hard for him and everything else you and Bo were talking about. But is Chris Greer 10-7, 9-8, he's here? Is that your take, or is he here no matter what?
You know, I don't have that answer because I'm not inside Mike McDaniel's head. Like, if McDaniel rolls with him, I would imagine that, you know, Tom and Steve will fall in line. If Mike's like, you know what, we really butchered the backup quarterback situation. We could have gotten more help on the offensive line. All these things we talked about, you know, in the off season. And again, we don't know how the decisions are made. That's the thing. Is Chris coming? Mike says, "Go get me this," and Chris brings him three options, and Mike picks the best one. Is it, if that's how it works? I don't know how Greer is particularly to blame, right? But if Chris is driving the bus completely on personnel, which I don't believe is the case, but if he is, then yeah, he's going to have some tough questions to answer for sure. Let's see how it plays out. If they're, you know, look, I think it's a hugely important game up in Green Bay next week for so many reasons. A, they need the win. A, B, they need to win against a good team in prime time. I know the Rams was a pretty good win, but the Packers are on a different level, to prove that, you know, it's supposed to be cold up there next week, that you can go and win, that this travels, right? I mean, again, the offense has looked better. How many times does it look better in adverse situations? Like L.A., climate-controlled, Miami, beautiful weather. So they have had these steps forward for sure. Even though when they were up in Buffalo, it looked pretty good. That wasn't a bad weather day. Can they do it in Green Bay against a good team, the kind of team you're going to need to beat on the road in the playoffs? If they can do that, look, I think there is – Steve Ross doesn't want to blow this thing up, right? He does not want a hard reset at 85 years old or whatever he is. I mean, let's be honest. He invested a lot into this nucleus, GM included, and my guess is his inclination is to see it through. Now, events could say that just is untenable, right? Like, we have to make a move. I don't think we're there yet. But yeah, I think the number one thing is if Steve has confidence in the coach and the coach has confidence in the GM, you're going to probably see everything run back next year.
Well, you know, like you said, I mean, if they can get to 10-7, which is to me it's a monumental climb to get there.
Pretty damn good. Yeah.
To get there.
Yeah.
Then you can say, okay, this season is, especially when you look back to those games that Tua wasn't there and you say, hey, if Tua didn't get the concussion, heck, we may be a 12-5 team or something,
right?
Like that, right? And so it's not Chris's fault that he got hurt, and there go that. But so let me kind of skip over to because we had this quote from Tua was on the on before you came on, and do you think that Mike is kind of, you know, this talk about soft and this and that, and you know, well, once you get on top of you guys are going to bail. Do you think Mike is developing a little bit more of a, and I don't want to say an overt, but a little bit more of a disciplined type of, you know, with these guys, you know, like Mostert, who's certainly is maybe his most favorite player on this football team.
Yeah, they've been together a long time.
And he's had to sit him down for a game, because of the fumbles. We had the conversation, there was a conversation last week about, you know, guys, you know, kind of going out late at night and guys missing being late for meetings and stuff. And I don't know how that reacts, but do you think Mike is becoming a little bit, which I think needs to be part of his repertoire, just being, doesn't need to be a bad guy, but just be a little tougher and be a little bit more stringent on the small, he's figured out the small details of his offense, figure out the small details of having a team that is all on board and not, you know, not the loose ends that seem to be hanging out sometimes.
Yeah, you make a lot of great points, and I think he gave them a lot of leeway, his team. He said all along, this is a player's team. We're here to help them be their best selves. The locker room sets the tone and all that. I think that's great in theory. In practice, you still have a bunch of humans that you have to rely on, and I don't know if – I think he may have put too much trust in their maturity, even though there are a lot of – like Calais Campbell, obviously, mm-hmm. Solid human being. Tron Armstead, you're not worrying about him not doing the right thing, obviously. And even – I think even to a degree, Tyreek, certainly he's had some knucklehead behavior off the field, but you're not worried about him giving 100% effort and being at meetings and all these things. Like that's not a Tyreek concern. Think that he has absolutely sharpened the edges a little bit of, all right, curfews and, all these things that he's never going to be Brian Flores, obviously. They're two totally different people, and the Dolphins don't want him to be that. But I do think he came to a realization, it was probably early this season, that, hey, I gave these guys too much slack, and I'm going to pull back on that. And they have responded, and to your point, Raheem is one of his, like, you're right. I mean, they've known each other. The only player he's known longer on the team is Jordan Poyer, but it's not like they didn't have the run together that Raheem and Mike have had. So to sit him down, I think, even if it wasn't intended to send a message, it was a good secondary benefit, right? I mean, the team has seen, man, if even Raheem Mostert's job can be lost, anybody's can. So the same thing with a David Long release. Yep. That one to me was pretty stunning. But it was, hey, nobody. There are no sacred cows, right? And I asked Mike about this yesterday. He had a long answer about anybody who thinks they're guaranteed anything. His job is absolutely nuts. And we'll remind them of that through our actions, because we're in no, like, this is a total meritocracy, right? And so I do think that has played a role. They've also, the some of the leadership of the team has stepped up as well. Tua kind of hinted at this yesterday, closed door, you know, players only meetings, things like that have had an impact as well. But at the end of the day, that stuff is ancillary. You've got to be able to execute, right? You have to be able to make the plays that are drawn up, and it doesn't matter if you've got a good 8 hours of sleep. If you're still brain dead in the, you know, in the field and doing the wrong things, it's irrelevant. So I think we're in a good sweet spot right now with this team. I think they have to win on Sunday, right? I mean, if they lose on Sunday, all this fun stuff we're talking about is completely irrelevant. But you get to 5-6 after what they've been through, and you have – let's be honest. We were talking about this before the season, like that. Oh, the last six game stretch could be really brutal. Doesn't look that brutal anymore. The Browns, hot garbage. The Jets, hot garbage. Okay, so really, it's three teams: Houston, Green Bay, and San Francisco at home. I don't think Houston's an unbeatable team. I don't think San Francisco's an unbeatable team.
They're all coming these teams, a little unwinded.
All these teams you can go and get. It would be wild to me that after all these, the last 2 years of talking about late season collapses and just, you know, running out of gas when you get to the playoffs, if they actually peak at the end of the season, which is what they've been trying to do for years.
Pretty crazy stuff, man. 9-3, 8-3 the last 2 years, start 2-6 and be able to come back and get to a nice 10 or 11 number would be just unbelievable. Hey, we really appreciate you coming on this morning, Beast. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network. Hey, Bo, man, we got a lot more stuff to we couldn't even get to with him that I wanted to talk to you about as far as position coaches. When we come back, they're always real positive, even when somebody's not playing well. And that's that Mike thing, right? He wants to make sure the message to the media is positive. Anyway,
by the way, which of the 30 coaches' assistants are you talking about?
I think it's somebody told. Did you tell me it's 33?
I don't know.
Somebody told me there's 30.
We get these flip charts, and I always look at the coaching staffs. It used to be 20. Now there's like 30 some odd.
It's amazing, man.
You know,
all the different titles:
coach, assistant coach, assistant
quality.
Coach to the assistant coach.
No. I'll tell you what, it can't be from lack of coaching with guys don't play well. I mean, there's no way.
I think there's too many, too many cooks spoil the broth, you know what I mean?
That's just because you were used to 10 for your whole life. All right, hey, I want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic. Oh, man, this ED and low T thing. Sex drive is gone. Energy level, shot, nothing, tired all the time, moody. And if you've been called a grumpy old man by your kids, you probably have low T. And with it comes ED, and when you have both, I'll tell you what, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating. When you don't have your level to even go walking anymore, you don't feel like it, you don't feel like doing some of the things you used to do, and find yourself sleeping and eating more and gaining weight. These are all things that happen with ED and low T. But I want to tell you, Atlantic Men's Clinic, this is what they do, and they do it better than anybody, man. I've had such great results. I feel like a cheerleader, man, 7 days a week when I talk about them. Guys are giving me a hard time last night at the party. I said, listen, man, it works. Atlantic Men's Clinic's phenomenal. You got to go in there, set up that first meeting, have your consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic, with their professionals there. You'll get the testing done. You'll get your results back within 30 minutes. They have 6 locations out South Florida to serve you, so it's easy to get to. Everything's private. You decide if you want to do it or not. But I'll tell you this, you're in for unbelievable results. 6 locations. Like I said, I go to that plantation location, nice and close. Call them today, 877-455-7300. 877-455-7300. Or just visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.
Time for your weather, brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, your accident attorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 80 degrees. It is clear. It'll cool down at some point here this week. The Joe Rose Show continues now. But first, we head out west for an update.
Well, Danny, your friend Mike Hunt doesn't have any good news for you today. Sadly, Milpitas High School is involved in a major controversy. Star quarterback Jack McCock has been ruled ineligible to continue to play here in the Penis Belt Conference after a birth certificate surfaced that says he's actually 26 years old. The scandal has rocked our community, and we're trying to raise money so that Jack can appeal his case. You can visit freemccock.com. org if you'd like to help, and we'd appreciate it. But for now, let's send it back to 7-0 Bo and 17 Harold back in Miami.
He's laughing at his own stuff in there. It's
Well, if Central can do it, then why shouldn't Real Peters do it?
Oh, you see the latest Northwestern. Oh, Teddy was fired up. Teddy sending out stuff. What are you grown-ass men doing to these kids? You know, everybody's ratting on everybody. What the hell happened to Dade County?
So let me tell you this: when we grew up in California, you had like when you're in elementary school, your schools had teams, right?
Yes.
You play flag football against other teams. So we had our flag football team, and there was another school up in the tough side of town, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're getting ready to play him, and I'll never forget that. This guy named Clayton Guzman. He had a beard already. He had one of those like little, you know, little. So we're sitting. We're out in our field waiting for the team to come out. All of a sudden, a car pulls up. The guy in elementary school is driving the car. He's got like six guys in the car. They all pile out of a Corvair, and this guy Clayton's driving the car. And we're going, holy cow, we've got to play against the guy. Everyone's going, I'm not blocking that guy. I'm not. Sixth grade, and the guy's driving a car down to our elementary school.
They actually broke.
So that's what happens when you come into Milpitas now, and you start. And I tell people what's going on with you, that you're instigating all that stuff.
By the way, I'm
gonna get Clayton Guzman on you.
I don't think he realized there's a lot of people out in that area that aren't real happy with Woody coming out.
Well,
with
you know, I got to tell you, there's a gentleman at the stadium that he stands outside the Dolphins locker room and makes sure that nobody gets in there that shouldn't go in there. And he's a rather large guy, and he came over to me and said, "Hey, I don't like them doing that Milpitas stuff. If you need me to help you, just let me know." I said, "Well, I'm getting pretty damn close.
Yeah, right.
You're getting pretty damn close."
You're poor Woody. Me?
I don't know what you're talking about. I have nothing to do with it.
Oh, man. So Bo, we were just talking. The team is super positive. Yeah. That's been Mike's thing for a long time. Don't embarrass anybody on the outside. And so quietly it happened. Not much is said before the game, but you're watching and you know you've got Fuller out with a concussion, so he didn't play. So thought Cam Smith and there's number 36, Storm Duck, getting a lot of playing time.
And Storm Duck just coming off an injury.
Just coming out. Right. He hasn't been around. And they're going, well, for this style, and so, you know, the position coaches talk. But I think we understand now that if you listen, it's all if you're waiting for him to go, he's not playing well enough. We're not going to play him. That's not acceptable. That's not going to happen.
No. You know, the assistant coaches, you know, Joe, you used to do coaches shows. I've been doing coaches shows and other shows. And a lot of times on the show, we'd have a coach, we'd have the head coach, and then we'd have an assistant coach. And back in the day, and this isn't a mic thing. This has gone on over the last, I'd probably say, half dozen years, where the coaches, they really are reluctant to let their coordinators or their assistant, maybe their coordinators, but the assistant coaches come out and speak very much. And I don't know why that is. Maybe they don't think that they're savvy enough that some reporter's gonna
or the one voice
bait him into something.
Just one voice.
And so they want the one voice deal. So and so now basically the coordinators get a position every week to talk. They pick them all, and but they're not gonna if I'm a newspaper reporter, I'm going, why am I even going to listen to this thing? Because they're really not going to give you anything of the any meat. Which is, you know, I can understand that. They're protecting their players and they're protecting the message of their head coach. But
I wish we had that a little bit.
Well, yeah, but you know, your eyeballs tell you what's going on. Things get out. And you know, you've got a guy you picked in, what was he, a second-round pick?
Cam Smith, yes.
A couple years
South
ago.
South Carolina, yes.
Played really good in the preseason. And go, man, this guy's – and how often do you see him on the field? Guys get hurt. Where's Cam? Storm Duck's back. Well, now, and you know,
Storm Duck's a rookie free agent,
right? And so, you know, there's, Joe, it's an old cliche, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
You know, if he's not playing,
we're not blaming Vic Fangio anymore.
Either someone doesn't trust him,
right?
Either he's not doing the work that he needs to do, or in which I don't believe is that he just downright can't play. I don't believe that. So there's got to be something going on there. And look, I don't think, like you said, I don't think you're gonna have an assistant coach, a coordinator come out and put a finger on a guy. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
They're not going to do that, to your point. So we've got that going. I got to ask you about a guy that they ask the coaches about. When our writers start asking him, you know, Jordan Poyer.
Yeah.
How's he played to you? I know he's got tons of experience. Yeah. And he lines up in the right place and all that. But what do you think as far as making plays?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I was excited about Jordan Poyer because I'd seen him so much when we played Buffalo. And when he was really good, and, you know, I'll put it this way. Jordan Poyer isn't Calais Campbell.
No.
Right?
Well.
The level of play that Calais Campbell is at his age and what he's doing right now is phenomenal.
Probably the best story on the team.
Right, it's phenomenal.
Slam dunk.
And so if you're judging people that are in the twilight of their careers, you know, I don't think Jordan's playing up to what the expectations that they had. I think, you know, I think he broke down on that play, the 57-yard. Or the,
well, he had the tackle. The tackle he missed.
And
tight end.
And that was one of the things he was. He was a sure tackler in Buffalo.
They were really good together, he and his partner.
Yeah.
They were really good.
Like, look, you know, I've always thought that safety position, when you talk about one safety, you got to talk about the other one. The safety and the free, because they work in tangent. What one does depends on, it helps, decides what the other's going to do, and they've got to be in conjunction. And maybe it's just a lack of communication, or maybe it's just the fact that, you know, you lose a step, you lose a little bit of anticipation.
Yeah, no question.
You know,
yeah, he's in his 32, 33 years old now, so it's a different deal. But I got to tell you, man. I think the other really good story's been Anthony Weaver.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We the defense recently has really, really picked it up. A lot of guys are playing at a pretty damn high level overall. And the Calais Campbell story and Zach Sealer, of course, in the middle and being able to keep those guys. But I'm with you on Calais Campbell. That story is
well then you
now you want him back next year.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm going, hey, he looks like a sprint, because he's playing a lot of plays. Though.
He ain't, play, he well, ain't yeah, playing $2 million worth of snaps.
No. Yeah, because, yeah, he was he was a 15 to 20, 17 snap guy. I would think going in his mind coming in, and he's playing almost the whole game now. And but you know, and I never thought we'd see Zach Sealer and another player have the relationship like he had with Christian Wilkins. But, boy, I tell you, it's very close between Calais and Zach. Those two guys are two peas in a pod, and they
build up each other. Yeah.
It says a lot about Zach because he's done it with two different guys, but it says a lot about Calais, where he's been able to kind of step in and be that same guy and they both lift each other up, man.
Yeah.
It's
two of the best players on
really
the team
see,
all year. Yeah, no question about it. Hey, we got a lot more NFL stuff. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, NFL Network's gonna join us coming up here. Got to tell you about Beverly's Jewelers. Jeff and Amanda and the family over there. Oh, my gosh. I've been going there 30-something years now. I've been going there, and I usually go the last second during the holiday season. I see Bo over there and Goldie and all the other guys doing that last second for the girls. And we'll be back in, guys. We want to let you know, but I want everybody out there to know they have a huge selection of earth-grown and lab-grown certified diamonds backed by their low-price guarantee. You're not going to find the same diamond for less anywhere. Plus, Beverly's has an unbeatable selection of diamond studs, tennis bracelets, jewelry for every style and occasion. Save big with discounts up to 50 to 70% off select items, or craft a piece that is truly one of a kind with their state-of-the-art design studio. Plus, with interest-free financing and free gift wrapping, Beverly's makes the holiday shopping so easy. Need extra cash? Bring in your old gold and jewelry. They'll buy it on the spot with no hassle. Trust Beverly's, and so can you. Visit the Fort Lauderdale showroom, very impressive, or just shop online at bevjewelers.com. This holiday season, discover why Beverly's Jewelers is where South Florida gets engaged.